Yes.
I just want to reiterate one point and perhaps solicit some information. Perhaps it's due to my lack of knowledge of criminal justice systems outside of the United States, but repeatedly in the United States, the problem is one of not inculpation, but exculpation. And we've heard very little about that today, and I guess what I wanted to know was, is it the case that there is no problem with psychiatric exculpation outside of the United States? Is this a rare problem? Does this account for why we have heard almost nothing regarding that today?
My question is related.
Well, would you ask your question as well?
My question, I think, is related. I wonder who usually initiates the process of the psychiatrist. Is it very often the defendant? That's, I think, what you suggested. Or is it the judge himself or herself? Or is it some other body? And if it's a defendant, then this raises the issue of exculpation and more prominently, I think.
I don't know who he is, but... Nein, es ist in aller Regel nicht.
No, normally it's not the defendant.
Can I answer the question? If you listen carefully to these stories, they are virtually all exculpations in that instead of trying and sentencing the defendant to a definite term, they are treated benevolently and put in a mental hospital. I mean, that was the story. In fact, we have hardly heard any cases of civil commitment where a wife commits a husband because he's going to commit suicide. We have heard only exculpation, Rick.
Well, the only point I'd make, Tom, is that the cases that I know of anecdotally over and over and over again in the United States are cases where when you ask the question cui bono, the answer is the defendant benefits by psychiatric intercession.
Well, no, how about
find a machine worse than this.
The guy who blocking on his name who shot Reagan.
Hinckley,
my favorite case.
Yeah.
Well, is that inculpation or exculpation?
Well, Hinckley is such an aberrant example. But
no,
I want to.
How about Ezra Pound?
I'm sorry. Well, I'm saying these are certainly examples. I'm not saying that there's no example, that there are no examples of inculpation. I'm just saying that you look at case after case in the United States where there is psychiatric intercession, and you find that it is to the defendant's advantage.
Well, ultimately not, but he might be conned into thinking so.
Well, I mean, I'm not speaking.
Well, there are such cases too. I'll send you some copies.
Yeah, I understand. Let me just clarify because I don't want to be unclear. I understand the role of psychiatry in inculpation, and I understand you're saying literally it's exculpation.
There's a very famous case in Switzerland where a man killed both parents and was let out after 3 or 4 years and inherited millions of dollars.
Right. And there are the
lottery.
The official. Let me just make a point. There are officially 0.25% of all criminal justice system cases in the United States are found not guilty by reason of insanity, with usually the defendant serving a minimal amount of time in a mental institution. But behind that number is the fact that that translates into a lot more absolute cases. And the other point that I'd make is that there is a great deal of psychiatric intervention with diversionary programs where people who drink, for example, are much better off when they commit a crime than people who don't drink because they get put in diversionary programs where they maybe they'll go to a program for their alleged alcoholism and they won't serve any time because that
you're
is...
Right. We have not heard the Dan White case.
That's right.
Yeah, but Dr. Yeah. Watts, I believe you may be mistaken in the part of what you related. The statistic is right. 0.25% is successful. The comment that they usually serve short sentences is, I believe, incorrect. They usually serve very long sentences, and the more serious the alleged crime, we don't know whether it was committed, the more serious the alleged crime, the longer the sentence. Hinckley is aberrant for a number of reasons, but not in the length of his sentence. He did something, they thought he did something that was serious, and he's going to have a heck of a time getting out.
George, I would be one of the last people to empirically challenge you, but I don't think you're correct about Hinckley being anything but an aberrant case in terms of the amount of time that he has been at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington.
Can you tell us what Hinckley is?
John Hinckley. Yeah, John Hinckley is the fellow who tried to kill President Reagan and did shoot as well James Brady and the Secret Service agent whose name escapes me. And Hinckley, as a matter of fact, Hinckley, parenthetically, would have been released were it not for the efforts of many people who found out that the psychiatrists were about to recommend his release, or actually they did recommend his release, and he was not released because of the uproar. But my only point is that I am not trying to contradict the cases of the violence on the people psychiatrically. I am merely saying that a very, very important component of criticism of psychiatry is the exculpatory component of psychiatry.
But it really doesn't seem to work anymore. What it's done, it seems to me, in what you've described, I did a book on torture and studied torture for 7 years in different political regimes, and in this case it was Uruguay, where they had hired psychologists from the United States to set up a panopticon and to drive people crazy who were their prisoners. That was their stated purpose, not just to break them, but to make them insane. And they use all sorts of clever things. It would be a crime to draw a picture. The movies you'd see would be deliberately slow and so on and on and on. But the regimes that you describe in the closed hospital seem to me like an improvement over anything they ever did in Uruguay. And this wasn't just for a little while in a dictatorship. This is in a democracy. So I think psychiatry has really, if you ever tried to cheat them with an insanity device and got by for a minute, they've got brand new ways to take care of people. And also, because it's all about deals now and copying a plea, you think you're going to do a little better by saying you were drunk. Oh, my word. Now you have... You're not being punished for a crime at all. You're in a sort of existential condition of insanity or alcoholism or something from which you can virtually never escape. From what you say, nobody ever gets off, gets out. It's a perfect system, and they have absolute power. This is hell.
Dr. Watts, just...
Very clearly done.
We're not going to
do
a duel.
Will you give me one sentence? Sentence after sentence is mitigated.
Darf ich bitte dazu auch noch einen Satz sagen? Nur zu diesem Punkt. Wir möchten nicht missverstehen.
Nobody getting out of it. Sometimes somebody gets out of it. The big problem is that nobody has got a perspective. He cannot tell whether he will get out ever and when he'll get out. He cannot know in which phases he cannot plan his future life. That's the atrocity about the whole system. However, it may well happen that somebody gets out of it.
I'm going to say that sentence after sentence is mitigated in the United States, certainly in the state in which I live, is mitigated by people who promise to get counseling, promise to go to diversionary programs. It is just repeated. It is an outrage. And I just urge you that it's okay to have hostility towards psychiatry, but you've got to have enough dispassion to be able to step back and look at the various components of it, that it is not so simple.
I wanted to point, since I don't want to do a duel of statistics with you, though I challenge you to one sometime later, I want to point out that the Supreme Court has found the need to point out that while the end of a criminal sentence serves the maximum time that a person can be held in a mental institution if convicted, they've made the point that you can keep a person well beyond the final term of a criminal sentence so long as he is acquitted by reason of insanity. Now, the only point I'm making is that seems to me not to be a very necessary decision in a world in which there's a lot of mitigation of sentence going on.
In Germany, you could do that by criminal law, too. If you
obey his crime, then can continue his imprisonment even beyond the normal rule. But it's a lifelong imprisonment, for instance. You can keep them beyond 20 years age. And somebody who is imprisoned lifelong, which is normally 20 years, kept of any kind of psychiatric things, can be kept for a long time because psychology plays an important role in the middle of any kind of normal criminal law procedure.
But that is already, I think, that the point that Ms. Peter made is extremely important, because if you read late 19th century, early 20th century, classical liberal literature, Lord Acton, even back to much earlier writers, they emphasize that the most important thing about Anglo-Saxon criminal law is that it's a deal. You serve your time. The very language expresses it. You steal something, you're sentenced to 5 years. If you behave well, you can get out maybe in 3 or 4, but they cannot keep you one more day, unless psychiatry comes in.
That was classical enlightenment, of course. You were punished for your deed, not for anything else. Yeah.
Not for anything, for an act, not for yourself, not for your status. I mean that, and actually there is a word in English law, excuse me for speaking law, capriciousness.
Right.
It's been often said that the essence of despotism is not tyranny, but capriciousness.
And the only thing I would add to that, as opposed to contradict, the only thing I'd add to that is that the points that are made with respect to the power of psychiatry to extend sentences are not incompatible with the point that psychiatry also serves an exculpatory function.
Ms. Peters, did you have something to add to that? Yeah.
Ja, noch einmal.
Yes, just on this question of the length of residence, I just wanted to offer you a few facts from Neustadt, the Baltic Center for Mental Health. I would say that murder usually is served by a sentence of 15 years. But let me say that Lars Christiansen, who set fire to the house in Mölln where the Turkish family were living, Lars Christiansen was given a youth sentence of 10 years for murder. And then after 7.5 years, he was offered probation, suspended sentence on probation. And he was brought to the Baltic unit, to the normal neurological center, as a condition. And within about 6 months, they had cured him. And then after 8 years, he was free. And in the closed regime, my patient, Mr. Zabaj, has been for 30 years. Mr. Bruno's been there 20 years. Ralf's been there for 20 years. Benno's been there for 26 years. Jochen's been there for 18 years. Ram has been there for 16. Dieter for 20. Michael for 22. Jörn for 14. Wolfgang for 22 years. And Adem for 16 years in this closed regime. For deeds, I know for Mr. Zabaj, normally he would have got 18 months for the crime. And they came there, they were still half children, 15, 16, 17 years old when they arrived. And now, 24, there's one guy who's been there for 7 years, Alexander. Christian is now 32. He was 16 years ago when he arrived. And Jay, I don't know what it stands for, he arrived when he was 16 in the closed regime, and he's been there for 9 years. That's the facts. Those are the prospects for the people in this kind of regime.
Yes, please.
I would like to comment
listening.
Unfortunately, the interpreter can't help you because the person is not using a microphone, so we hear nothing. Again, we regret not being able to interpret, but we can't hear anything.
Mein Name ist Fritz Joachim Rudel.